The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. In a world where the line between right and wrong has become increasingly blurred, it is of utmost importance that believers are able to stand firmly on the Word of God. Stay tuned as Pastor Ben Lawson from Calvary Chapel of the Sandhills in Aberdeen, North Carolina, brings us another teaching from the Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, on The Cutting Edge.
Put your armor on. Ephesians 6, 11 through 16 says this. Put the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age. That'd be Satan, okay? And the world order, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand, there you go, in the evil day, and having done all, to stand, then just stand some more. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. And the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, that which is the Word of God. There you go. Sometimes you just have to just stand. And that's what John said. He goes, look, I missed that. I've taught this lesson a couple times. And yesterday I looked at that and said, wait a minute, they're not running. They're not running away. He said he was going to stand still in our place. Stand still in our place. That in the Hebrew means nothing's going to keep me from going backwards. I'm standing here. I'm in cement. I have the Word of God and I have the Spirit. And I'm going to fight the enemy here and now. Because look, for some of our lives, in some, seasons of our life, we can only stand. We can't go forward. There's just no way. We can't take another step, but we can stand. We can fight the enemy where he's at. And so standing your ground. But I've also found over the years, the pastor and that, a lot of people wait for something to happen. But they wait, and that's not bad. That's a good thing. But they wait at a great distance away. They opine with, Lord, if you want to do something with me in my life, then you have my phone number. You know where I live. Now, I think a better way is to do what Jonathan did. Joseph, in Life Lesson 3, tells us he was standing at the door. He was at the edge. He stood on the edge, didn't he? He was at the door. Now he was, he wasn't going to force the door open, but he was in a place to storm through it if indeed God would open it. Let's bring this closer to home. Perhaps you're in a place of location, relational, geographic, or just in ministry, where the Lord is telling you to step up, move out, and get ready. I believe with all my heart that in place right now. God's telling you to step out. You've been here long enough. I'm taking you to the next step, to the next place that I want you to flourish and bloom. And so put your armor on, guys. But what if it doesn't work out? Well, for those timid saints, please remember Revelation 3:7. That is, the Lord has promised to close the doors no man can open, and to open doors that no man can shut. But here's the rub. You can't see the door open from a long distance, especially for us older guys, right? And ladies. You just can't. You got to be at the door, man. Folks, you got to be there to take advantage and opportunity of God opening the door. In my life, I've had doors open and I've been a distance away. I don't know. I have other people, the naysayers and different, and then the door closes. And let me tell you, what door that I will never let close in my life again. Where's that door? That door is when someone is passing. And they call and say, hey, pastor, did you know such and such is on their deathbed and they're passing and I don't know, you know them, I just thought you might want to get up there. Okay, I will. And then I'm a little timid. And I'm like, I'm not his real pastor, or I knew him once, and I don't know. That is hogwash from the enemy. From Satan, I'll never let that happen. Never again. Be ready to charge through the door. Be ready to be there when God opens it. And that's exactly what Jonathan did, didn't he? Amen? Well, in verses 11 and 12, thank you, George, I'm glad you're tracking. No one else is, but you're... In verse 11 and 12, we are just told that the Israelites had taken to hiding in caves. And as I said before, Johnny and Arnie there, you know, Johnny, Armor, Arnie, I tried to come up with something clever. Evidently, it didn't go very well. They were there, but they weren't part of the people in the cave. But they thought they were, the Philistines. Secondly, in verse 12, reminds me of what Jesus told us in Matthew 16. What would that be? Well, in Matthew 16, Jesus told us that he would build his church and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. How many of us have heard that? No more? A few? Well, you probably will, if you're Christian, before you die, that Jesus said that. Well, here's the problem. No, that's not true. See, in reality, Jesus was saying, you will storm through the gates of hell, you'll go on offense and take territory previously held by the enemy. You see, if Jonathan were put in a defensive position, let me back up a bit. The reason that I say that that was in reality not what Jesus was saying, because for many years I thought that meant that Satan would not conquer us. I mean, that kind of goes with it, right? The gates of hell won't prevail. But then I got to studying it a bit more. And I realized that obviously that's not what Jesus was saying, because gates don't attack. Satan does, but gates didn't attack. And it says here, the gates of hell will not prevail against us. Gates don't attack us. So isn't it obvious that he's talking about storming the gates of hell? Taking back that which the enemy has held? Going in and taking back real estate? See, if Johnson were to put the defensive position, this man was to stand and fight. But the enemy egged him on to an offensive position. And in taking the offense, he and his armor bearer was able to conquer, yes, conquer that which was previously held by an enemy. He took back real estate. That's why there, in that verse that we read about, they did it, and like, I always often wonder, why did he say, bring in that scripture, bring in the knowledge that, well, and it took about a half an acre. Did you see that? Let me see where that was. I think it was verse 13. And they fell before Jonathan as he came after him as armor bearer. The first slaughter, verse 14, was 20 men, and it took half and an acre of land. Why do you think he put that in? I can tell you why, because I believe it's a symbolic message to us that took back ground from the enemy that was ours. He went in and he took that ground back. And so, we're to conquer the enemy, going with the armor bearer, able to conquer that which was previously held by the enemy. Again, that behavior, guys, ladies, it's not the behavior of a spectator. It's not a behavior of just a fan. Instead, we are to do the same thing Jonathan did. And Life Lesson 4 will tell us, we get to go on the offense and see Jesus free people previously held by the enemy. We get to see Jesus free people up. Take back that real estate that the enemy has taken. The ones, you know, the ones with no hope, they've been defeated. Maybe the ones that lost their first love. I don't know. I'm going to get done early. Dennis, that's not like this. See, Dennis was here in the years I used to teach like 3 hours. Bring your lunch. Yeah. Well, listen, verse 13 reminds us, we must fight the battle. We must fight the battle on our knees. Whenever you get in the battle, you need to be a prayer warrior. You've got to pray. Let me tell you something. You get on your knees and pray, and the enemy will fall. We'll back off. You understand that. Verse 14. verse 13 tells us that. And so in 14 and verse 15, the Philistines were blown away. They couldn't believe that only two men were wiping the whole army out. And as that weren't bad enough, the earth began to shake under their feet as well. Church, did you read that? Two people, man. This area, I love this area of scripture. It's just two dudes, you know? They weren't Superman. They were just two guys. Just one day, chilling, decide, man, I'm tired of sitting. I'm tired of being complacent. Let's get into battle. Let's do something. My dad used to tell me, and I don't know if this is right or wrong, but my dad, you know, when we'd be doing nothing, you know, waiting on something, finally he'd say, let's do something even if it's wrong. We're doing something. That was my dad. But here we see, just let's get off, man, the seat of complacency. And let's get on with it. And these two, and they even began the earth to shake. Life lesson 5 tells us when we engage into the fight with God, not only does it put trembling in our enemy, like it said there in verses 14 and 15, but it also shakes up the world as well. Let me tell you something. Whenever Christians really get to getting with the program, when we start really doing things that we should be doing, and I don't mean, you know, standing on the corner with bullhorns, okay? I'm just talking about civil disobedience. There, it's out there. That's how I said it, okay? When the government tells me not to teach about sin, guess what? Pastor Ben's going to jail. And I pray and hope, Pastor, with his harmonica, we have a prison ministry. But you know, we just need to get started. We need to get cooking there. And when we do that, guess what? It upsets the world, man. They don't know what to do with us. We're a sleeping giant. Don't know what to do. Well, verse 16 tells us, Saul's watchman told Saul, Saul? Evidently, they're all disorientated and confused because the enemy had begun to attack each other. Just like the world turning on one another. And they do. If you notice, when we really get to cooking, then the world gets to arguing amongst themselves. They don't know what to do. They get confused. Well, in verses 17 through 19, the plot thickens. You see, King Saul, hearing the noise from the Philistines' camp grow louder and still not understanding the need to run to the battle, but finally noticing Saul called for the ark for further counsel. You ever know a church like that or a family like that or someone like that? But just God's telling them, oh, we need to pray more. God's telling them, look, if your kid, you're praying for safety for your kid, praying for safety for your kid, and one day your kid starts to cross this road out here, and there's a tractor trailer coming down the road and it's about to just do him in, do you stand there and go, well, let's pray about what we're going to do? Ludicrous! No, you act! I'm just saying, so many churches and so many nowadays and so many, you know, of us, there's a healthy balance in praying and doing, but there's so many times that, have you ever noticed? I've been in this community for a while. There are some churches, it takes an act of God to feed a homeless mother. It does. You call them, you ask them, they meet next week, and then we're going to pray about it, and then, oh, no, the week after next, and then, by the time they finally get a couple pennies together, the woman's dead. There's a need to just act. God's spoken to us about that. And here's Saul, man, he benefits just so much. He's just sitting, and finally, evidently, Saul finally decided to get involved. He heard the battle. Let me get this straight. It took only two men, to inspire a commander-in-chief to get into the battle. Wow. But wait. Not only that, in verses 20 and 22, it tells us much more. What is that? Well, it tells us that as this amazing victory unfolded, the Israelites, who previously sided with the enemy, suddenly found courage to challenge or to change alliances, to get in the battle. My friends, those are modern day backsliders. That's what those are. Those that have joined the enemy. Those that went back into the world, the modern day backsliders. What is this lesson trying to tell us? There was two. You know, we can get out there. We can. Jonathan brought back these backsliders and got them engaged into God again. So not only did these two affect the nation of Israel, the corporate church, if you will, and backsliders, but also what else did they do? Here we find out that others hiding away because they were intimidated by the enemy. They left their cave. Of course, those who are intimidated, marginal Christians, complacent Christians, lackadaisical Christians, they came and they were engaged again. It took only two men who were willing to say, let's go and see what the Lord might want to do today. And as a result, caused a nation, a church, backsliders, and finally fearful men and women to surface and join the battle. Bam! Shakalakalak. That's what I like. Like, yeah. I don't know about you guys. I don't know if you're dead or if you're just not inspired or you're blown away, but I'm telling you, we need to get busy. And this church is busy. I understand it. But I'm just saying, this is my heart, man. My heart is that we all need to get busy. Time is short. Time is short. I'm not one of those crazy pastors that go, gloom and doom and end of the age. No, but you know, you've got to be an ostrich in deep sand to not know the time's short. I believe with all my heart, God's at the threshold, ready to come back for His church. So how should we put this to bed? What shall we end with, church? Well, just this. I wonder who is young at heart today in this church. I wonder who is tired of a mundane and predictable life. Tired of that which is easy to do in your own energy. Maybe, the Lord is saying to you, there's something I want to do that will be ground shaking in your life. Something that will cause other people to get fired up and get right. So I wonder who God is speaking to even right now. I don't know, but you know. God knows. So gang, don't be just a spectator, just a fan. As I said before, time's short. Let's get in the fight. Join the call. Amen?
That concludes our study for today. Please join us next time as Pastor Ben continues to teach us verse by verse through the whole Word of God and shows us how God's Word applies to our lives today. For more information about our Cutting Edge Radio Ministry or Calvary Chapel of the Sandhills, you can call us at 910-684-5296 or write to us at P.O. Box 102, Aberdeen, North Carolina, 28315. You can also visit us online at calvarychapelsandhills.com. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you as you seek to know Him more.